Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's no sponsor that I use more while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/Fightful will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. Welcome to Fightful. It is October 5th, 2024.
You heard that one. You heard that one.
I did hear that one. We've got Mini Portable here with us. So I want to ask you right off the top, what just broke?
My neighbors are moving their aluminum cans and glass bottles right now. Yeah, so that's what broke over there. Apologies.
Chelsea Green's running around outside. She's still trying to get out of the trash. We're here to talk WWE Bad Blood. We have Minnie Portable. Minnie, how you doing?
I am doing wonderful. I don't know if you saw my Twitter, but I did meet AJ Lee. I met her this morning. It was emotional because she was my hero. And I didn't mention anything about WWE, you know, because I just wanted to talk to her as a person. But she saw my shirt, this shirt, the CM Punk shirt.
Love
and
that.
She did say, yeah, she was like, my baby's going to open up the show, send good juju. And I was like, of course. It's like, absolutely.
And boy, did he ever open up the show. We'll be talking about that shortly. A reminder, guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. Get your super chats. Get your humper chats in. You might say, what the hell is a humper chat? It's just a way to get your question or statement. And you can go to humperchats.com or you can send them here on youtube.com/Fightful. We thank all of you that are watching on Facebook, on Twitter, on Twitch, on YouTube, all that good stuff. We greatly appreciate you. If you also want to support us, you can go to FightfulSelect.com. That is where a gigantic portion of exclusive wrestling news comes from, including what was main eventing this show, what was opening this show, a whole lot of details on who was behind the scenes, including a fella by the name of The Rock, who just showed up in a giant Ford black truck and was just chilling. So we will get to that later, but FightfulSelect.com got some updates on some missing talent, so to speak, tomorrow. But want to thank our moderator, Luis, by the way, who's going to gather those super chats, humper chats. So as an AJ Lee fan, as somebody who's wearing a CM Punk shirt right now, you got to feel pretty good about that opening match, which proved to be, in my opinion, one of the best Hell in a Cell matches of all time.
Yes, Absolutely. My favorite wrestler right now, though, is Drew McIntyre when it comes on the WWE side.
Fair.
So for me, it's like if Drew McIntyre won, cool. If CM Punk won, cool. But CM Punk did need this win, so I was extremely happy about that, especially when we saw like the torn beads of the of said bracelet. That was the main focus of this entire feud. For me, the entire match, I think CM Punk kind of, you know, the internet likes to just say, oh, but he's broken and oh, old punk and all of this. It's like just I think CM Punk proved that he can still go, and Drew McIntyre and him had, in my opinion, match of the night.
Yeah, I thought that they opened and closed this show very strong. And some of the stuff in the middle, of course, we'll talk about. But our great partner at BetOnline.ag always gives us our betting odds for these shows. CM Punk was favored to win, but a prop bet that was almost sure money was, will CM Punk or Drew McIntyre bleed? And the favorite on that was, yeah, both of them are going to bleed. And boy, did they ever, Minnie. So right out of the gate, we had Punk ripping off, or they ripped off the leg tables or the table legs, and Punk damn near killed Drew with it right out of the gate. You could see a spot, if you watch, where Punk very clearly was holding onto his blade at some point, like to bust himself open. But the cage itself was sharp. Like, they were cut up and everything.
Yeah.
Early on in this match, like, how were you feeling? Because it seemed like everybody was just kind of waiting for the inevitable. If CM Punk is in this match, he's bleeding.
Yeah, my chat also asked me, who do you think is going to blade first? And I'm just like, well, first, I don't like the question, but I'm like, CM Punk. I'm like, CM Punk is going to blade. I knew there was going to be blood. I knew that it was going to be a sort of match that it was going to be a bunch of table spots, just not your average WWE match anymore. The spot that hurt me was when Drew McIntyre threw his back on the side of the table. Or no, it was the side of the steel steps. It was on the side of the steel steps.
As the match closed, yeah.
Yes, that part, I really hope that Drew McIntyre is fine. I thought the match was fun. It was eventful. I think, I think AEW really stepped up on their production, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like, as this went on, like, people, it's funny because I saw people on Twitter. They're like, is it a blood packet? Is it real blood? And he was real blood, fellas. I think that's where we were looking at. But Punk locked on the sharpshooter. There was a really beautiful spot, a suplex from inside to outside through the table. I always love getting a table involved there because, like, when you put it right between the cage and the ring and there's not that much room for error, you're not going to miss the table. First off, they're just going to bounce off the damn cage if that happens, but it adds a different element to it. They got a toolbox involved, which, you know, I think the last time we saw that in Hell in a Cell, I know that Randy Orton took a tool to Jeff Hardy's ear, but also Triple H and Kevin Nash did that back in the day. There were some little callbacks and all that stuff, but the spot on the stairs, like, that's the one that you mentioned. That's one that everybody can relate to, like landing right on their ass, right on their lower back, and feeling that pain. You could feel it through the screen, Minnie.
Yeah. I also, so the side of the table had, like, you know, so that there's a leg and then there's a side that like holds those legs. Yes. I have bashed my knee on that so many times and it really hurts. Also, let me just preface, because I can't read your chat right now. I was joking with the AEW thing. It was a bit on my stream. it was just a bit on my stream. Listen, so I don't know what you're trying to say.
some people just, we like to have fun here. We like to enjoy ourselves. Nobody's going to get mad at you. It's not like Twitter, at least, at the very least. We got some super chats and humper chats. Our great moderator, Luis, Brooklyn Rican 92, sending Minnie some love. I'll tell you another thing that I loved so much about this match, Minnie, was the post-match and Punk collapsing. And I have a theory. Now, this is not a report. I don't want somebody like posting this to Twitter or anything. Punk collapses. It was a work, by the way, guys. But they give him oxygen. They're helping him. They got Petey Williams and Shane Helms out there. I wonder if this is to keep him off of the Saudi Arabia show, because he has indicated in the past that he is not exactly keen on going over there to wrestle. Now, you know, maybe time and money can change things, but I'm wondering if this is a way for him to sell some injuries, because that would also put Drew over a little bit. Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If even though he lost, CM Punk can't even make it to the next pay-per-view.
Yeah. And I mean, we're going to have that conversation about the Saudi show and about, you know, what happened. We will have that conversation. So I'm not going to say too much about that, but I agree with your take. I do think that CM Punk, well, I think both are going to be taking some time off, and Drew still looks strong. Drew did take CM Punk to a different level where we haven't seen CM Punk in a very long time in WWE. I did notice the mention of his wife a lot. So I'm being optimistic. I'm being hopeful. And I hope that they're mentioning her because she's going to come back.
How'd you feel when you saw the friendship bracelet beads, which were sometimes a more criticized element of the story playing out here as they I thought they tied it in to where it made a little bit more sense, but still getting slammed on those would not feel good. I'm just saying that it wouldn't feel good to land on those.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like stubbing your toe, you know, like it's just an unnecessary pain that you don't necessarily think is going to hurt, but that it does. I actually wanted, so when I saw Drew McIntyre have the bag, I was like, please let it be real glass and let him say real glass, cry me a river. Like I really wanted that to be brought. But when I did see the beads, I was like, you know what? This is even better. Like that's even better than the idea that I thought.
Overall, I thought this was right up there with the MJF dog collar match as like one of Punk's best matches since he came back. Yeah. It's very clear that in these types of matches, these very violent matches, CM Punk thrives. And I mean, that's no big surprise considering the nature of his career. But now we live in a wrestling landscape where it's much more prevalent. He's got a lot more freedom to do that. And I think that CM Punk, even you know, in his older years, after having quite a while off, he's excelling in these matches, Minnie.
Yeah, and he looks great. When he came out, I felt like I was looking at Randy Orton. Like, his quads were massive. I was like, CM Punk is putting on some meat.
Everybody loves the meat. Everybody loves the meat. CM Punk was the Bet Online AG favorite. Make sure you guys go over there. Get your bets in on upcoming shows. We'll have the Bet Online odds for Wrestle Dream coming up very soon as well. We had Nia Jax defeating Bayley. There was a lot of hit and miss in this match for me. Like, the crowd was into it, which is good. I could not believe that they replayed the spot where Bayley was going to powerbomb Nia, and they had to play it off in the ring like Nia hit that Hurricane Rana. I'm sure it was good in theory, but it did not work. Nia got powerbombed. She got slammed. That was it. Did this match hit for you? Because it did for the crowd, but there were some spots that I definitely was like, they got to get back on track here.
Yeah, I liked it. That spot with the Hurricane Rana, I was just so happy and proud to see Nia Jax do something that's not in her arsenal. For me, I feel like people still hate Nia Jax just for the sake of hating Nia Jax. You know, like, I don't think they grow. They're not growing with the characters. They're not seeing the effort that she puts in. So I enjoyed the match because I did like to see Nia Jax with a wider set of moves. I mean, Bayley always kills it, obviously. As far as
I'm not sure that move is in her arsenal. I don't think it is.
It could be. It could be, okay? With a little more work, she could do it, okay?
And I think she could. I think that she is on easily best run of her career. It's not even close. She has been, like, infinitely improved this run compared to her last run. I think that they're setting up the Tiffany Stratton turn really beautifully. I think that worked out really well, or that's gone on. But there's a few things, like, there was a Samoan drop spot that got a little bit missed, but then they recovered and Bayley did an incredible Samoan drop. Like, there was also Nia doing the Bayley to belly. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Then there was a spot that I thought was both good and bad. So Nia kicked out and she launches Bayley over the ref. The way they set up the ref bump, I thought was ridiculous. The way the ref bump happened, I loved.
Yeah.
So the ref, who famously their entire job is to get out of the way, just sits down there and looks at Bayley like,
yeah.
What are you doing, Bayley? The person that I just watched get thrown over top of me? Huh? Why did you do that? And then Nia lands on her. I loved the end result, but I thought that setup was a little wonky.
Yeah, and it barely got a reaction to, like, the first bump.
Yeah.
We were kind of like, all right, ref bump, but it barely got a reaction because, yeah, it was wonky. And then as soon as Nia splats on Jessica Carr, we were like, oh, shit. So, yes. Like, I don't know if I can curse. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can curse.
Okay, well, that
we sell Blue Chew and Manscaped here. They do not care.
Okay. Yeah, so I thought the way that it executed was, it was the perfect way to execute it.
Nia Jax was the favorite from Bet Online to win this match, but Tiffany Stratton comes in and helps make it happen. Nia sitting up like the Undertaker was so good. Like, mm-hmm. Nia just seems so much more motivated this time around. Like, I did media with her earlier this year as well. She was wonderful, but, like, in the ring, me complaining about those two and a half things. This is still better than almost any match that Nia had during her original run because she seems like she's having so much fun. She seems like she's really enjoying it. And I think that goes a long way. But Tiffany Stratton comes out and goes to help Nia Jax. Nia does not seem thrilled about it. Nia's been bullying Tiffany a little bit. I think the babyface turn here is going to be really great because it's very clear. Like, earlier this year, the crowd started to embrace Tiffany Stratton, and they're ready to do it again. And right now they're bridging the gap with Bayley, which is, you know, appropriate because she won the title earlier this year. When do you think that turn is going to happen?
So I actually thought it was going to be today, just because they do overdo, like, we're in an era right now where it takes a while for people to turn. Like, we still have Austin Grayson, we still have Xavier and Kofi. We just saw the Miz turn on R-Truth. So I was like, they might do something different with Tiffy. And I really thought that they were going to do the turn today. So because it's not today, I'm just going to assume the next pay-per-view that Nia Jax has a match, I guess. I don't know. I feel like they're just going to keep teasing it over and over again on SmackDown. And it's just kind of like,
Well,
I don't know.
As things stand, we'll talk more about it shortly. But I think she'll be facing... Will she be facing Liv next month at Crown Jewel, maybe? Nia Jax? That would be interesting. So that should be yeah, considering the doing the champion versus champion. But I'm interested in your thoughts as a fan when you watch somebody interfere and their music hits. To me, I'm like, okay, I get it, because Tiffany Stratton is the Money in the Bank winner. Maybe she's coming out to cash in. But otherwise, why wouldn't the referee be like, hey, yeah, why is that lady's music playing right now? Maybe, wait, is she getting involved? Although Jessica Carr wasn't paying attention to much in this match. To be fair.
I did see her tell Tiffy, like, oh, like, if you're not going to cash it in, like, you have to get out of the ring. Yeah. I did see that. But your question was, what do I think?
Yeah, whenever that happens, does that take you out of it? Or is it one of those like, well, she's got money in the bank, so what's it matter?
I get more invested in it. I definitely pop, especially if you're a fan of the person that's trying to cash in.
Of course.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And Tiffy, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Tiffy too. So when she came out, I was like, yes, it's Tiffy time. And being a fan of all three women individually, you're just kind of like, you know what? Whatever is going to happen, it's going to be great regardless, as long as they do it right.
It is. I mean, she seemed like so shocked that earlier this year in Australia, the audience took to her so well. Like, we had somebody interview her and she was like, yeah, what was up with that? I had no idea that was coming. So yeah. It's cool to see that sort of force their hand a little bit. And I think that one of the things that, honestly, AEW's had a big problem with it in recent years, but WWE up until a few years ago really had the problem with pulling the trigger on someone even early, because sometimes you need to establish that these talent are good right out of the gate. Alberto Del Rio sucks, and he's still getting bookings because WWE pushed him really strong early on. Braun Breaker looks like $1 million right now because they're making him look great immediately. Gunther, when he came up to the main roster, I think it goes a really, really long way in doing that.
Yeah, the only one that they didn't really do that with was Ilya, and now he's injured. So it's kind of a hit or miss with the individuals that they do it with. I think, and this is going to be outside of the conversation, but the whole Braun Breaker is ruined now. I think that's just BS. He's not ruined. Like, he still looks strong. He's young. Yeah. He has a whole career ahead of him. Like, he will be fine.
I always remember hearing about Macho Man Randy Savage, and he would be asked, oh, well, do you want to do like a screwy finish? And he's like, no, win him in the ring, lose him in the ring. I'm good enough to stay over if somebody beats me. And that's how I look at it. And so far I've looked at Braun Breaker the same way as well. Like, there's not like shenanigans when he loses. Man just loses and he comes out and he's like, I lost that, but I'm not going to lose very much more. So it doesn't much matter.
Yeah. Chelsea Green's like that too. She doesn't necessarily need to win to be over, which I love. Yeah.
I love Chelsea Green. She's wonderful. Can't believe they did my friend Chelsea Green like that last night. Can't believe it.
Now she's stinky.
I know. We got that to talk about as well. Guys, get your super chats and humper chats in. A reminder, and thank you to Lonnie Barker. A reminder, I'm matching all of these to go to Hurricane Relief this week. He says, wanted to help you with your Hurricane Relief. Thanks for being a class act. In your opinion, who do you think realistically we see the top five guys in each side of War Games? Is Zilla or Hikuleo on your radar? What else can they bring in? Lonnie, what I'll do is ask our moderator to apply this to the main event of the show, not to push you off because you're very generous, but I think this would be better served for the end of the show, even though I don't know if that's where we're going with it yet. I'll ask Luis to do that, but I just wanted to say thank you so much for that. Yana says, don't forget Liv beat Nia Jax at the beginning of the year and is one of the few to do so since her return. Liv also won the championship in Saudi, so she could play on that. I believe this version of WWE Mini is way more likely to remind us that Liv beat Nia Jax at the beginning of the year and that Liv did win that way. Like, history means a lot more, I feel like, in this iteration of WWE.
I agree, and I hope so too. I think Triple H, well, we all know that Triple H is a very long storyteller type of individual. Like, right now, Liv's title reign is so focused on Mommy and Dom, but it's like her title reign has been always with Dom. And for me, like, if you're gonna make Liv champion and you're gonna prove to us that she is championship material, which I do think she is, break her out of that. Like, I know it's a good story, but you gotta break her out of that and have time by herself as champion. And I don't want to segue too far, but you did bring up the champ versus champ, because I did forget that that's going to happen at Crown Jewel. And what perfect way to cash in, to have a Tiffy cash in against Liv and Nia Jax. I think that's beautiful storytelling.
Yeah, we've got Will Chisholm also saying, I love that Bianca still doesn't like Bayley. I mean, she's got no reason to like Bayley, which I really appreciated. We saw her and Jade Cargill and Naomi at the start of the show. And also, we got the party that they were throwing. Now, we saw a lot of people in the crowd throughout the night. Lil Baby, Quavo, Metro Boomin, DDP, Killer Mike, Scott Steiner, Mickey James, who I wish they would book, Booker T, Lillian Garcia, Tully, Arn Anderson, X-Pac. A little note, WWE, I think Cody may have mentioned this. They're bringing in a lot of legends to like just appear. And what they'll do is they do like prep packages for some of the younger talent, informing them who these legends are, some of their accomplishments, and a lot of that stuff. I think that's a really good approach. Like, I think legends are treated appropriately here, but it's also good to see them be like, we're in Atlanta and a whole lot of rappers live here. Let's bring in a bunch of rappers. I don't think Lil Yachty was shown on screen, but he was there. They didn't acknowledge him, at least. But I like this. They made it seem way more cool. Like, they had the VIP thing. They had Chikara Jackson like not being allowed in. Chelsea got kicked out, and Piper ditched her. I thought this was all very fun stuff.
I thought it was fun stuff too. But I also like how Chelsea Green was like, "Pee." I was like, "Pee." Yeah. I like that. That's gonna stick for sure. I think it's cool seeing all the legends there, acknowledging the legends. I didn't know that they were teaching the younger talent who the legends were. I think that's important, because most of the NXT are college athletes, and they probably don't know who the legends are. But because they're college athletes, they're future stars. So I think that's very important and cool.
I'm told that Drew McIntyre got 16 staples.
Oof.
But appears fine. So we're going to get to this, but they just did a segment where Kevin Owens attacked Cody Rhodes outside the venue. So the turn happened. We will get to that as the main event happens. But yeah, holy cow. That's very cool. Damian Priest defeated Finn Balor. Judgment Day got involved. I mean, listen, I think Damian Priest has delivered at a main event level. This match was okay. It happened. I felt like they could have had this on Raw, and Sami and Gunther could have been on the PLE.
Yeah.
All due respect, because I love Damian Priest. He's one of my favorite performers. But I was sitting here, and my big question was, what does Damian Priest do next? And apparently he said he's not finished with the Judgment Day, and I'm like, oh, okay. Well, what did you think of the match and the idea that Damian Priest – well, first off, what did you think of this match being on the PLE over Sami Gunther, over the tag title match, over even Meechan and Chelsea in a dumpster match?
I agree. That was the one match that I was extremely actively talking to my chat, and my chat was like, don't forget, you're going to be on FIFO. You're going to have to pay attention and talk about the match. And I'm like, I'm paying attention to it, but there's really not too much to pay attention. Like, it was a good match. I think Triple H just really believes in Damian Priest, and that's fine, because Damian Priest is really good. But I think if it was going to be on a PLE, they should have given the win to Finn Balor. Because then at that point, it's like, all right, well, this makes sense. Finn Balor, or bring back Demon Finn and have him get the win over Damian Priest. And then that would have been perfect. But I do agree with, they could probably put the tag ladder match or Gunther versus Sami.
Yeah, I mean, this was, it was okay. Like, it was, like, I'm not going to say it was a bad match or anything, but I could have seen the Damian Priest beating Finn Balor with Judgment Day getting involved thing happening in 2 days. And and I mean, it kind of felt like that as well. Damian Priest, I do believe, delivers on a main event level. I think that he was given the ball, and I thought he did really, really well with it. But it's just one of those matches that I was like, okay, but in comparison, did we need that? Now, I did enjoy Gunther in the next segment that we're going to talk about, but I thought this one was Damian Priest was favored by our great partners at Bet Online to win this match. But then we got the Triple H segment, and I watched it, and I want to see how you felt first, because I got on Twitter. I got on Twitter, and I was a little surprised. What did you think of it? Well, I'll run it down first. Triple H comes out. They had hyped up a historic announcement. He says they will continue to make history at Crown Jewel, and it appears every year, Minnie, that the world champion and WWE champions, both men and women, will take on each other, and those titles won't be on the line, but the Crown Jewel Championship will be on the line, or at least it'll sort of be awarded to people, because that will obviously change every year. I'm going to pull up a picture of that Crown Jewel Championship. And first off, I want to know, what did you think of how the belt looked?
I think the belt is beautiful. I think the sentiment of the belt, I think, is kind of bullshit. I don't know what Twitter's saying, because I have not been on Twitter.
I
don't know.
I hate it.
Oh, okay, good. I think it's, if you have a title and it's covered up and there's something that the IWC and people have been wanting for a very long time, which is a women's mid-card title, I think if you know this, because Triple H has a burner account, we all know you're on Twitter and we all know you listen to everything that Twitter says.
So, hear me out. Sorry to interrupt. I asked somebody, does Triple H use a burner? And they said, no, he just uses his own account. That's why you can always catch him liking stuff he shouldn't be liking, like certain posts on Instagram and stuff like that. They're like, he does enough goofy shit on his own. We wish he would use a burner, is what somebody told me.
So you just, spoiler alert, V is not Triple H.
I mean, I'm not going to say that. Maybe the guy's got multiple personalities, but V, I mean, listen, I've been given no evidence to prove that V isn't Triple H, for those of you who know Hang 'Em High, but I mean, just saying, it's probably him.
I thought it was going to be the women's mid-card title. And then when I saw the gold, I was like, that's a really beautiful title. But the sentiment, I think it's bullshit. I think it's just another way to stroke the Saudis. I just think it's another money grab. And I just think you're putting too much effort into, I understand you'll get a lot of money there, but also understand your audience and understand the women of your company and you know how they are treated. So I think last year, last Crown Jewel, I think they gave more of a reaction towards like the women's matches, which I think is getting better. Again, I don't want to offend anybody, you know, but yeah, I just thought it was just another way to please the Saudis.
Yeah. And so from a company perspective, I think that they have to do something for the amount of money that the Saudis are paying them to basically make them feel like these shows are important. So they're doing something that they used to do this on Survivor Series. They used to do champion versus champion, and it was purely for bragging rights, so to speak. Yeah. I don't mind them doing something ceremonial, but also I wonder the gymnastics that they'll play in order to make this happen and who will get protected and who won't. Because I mean, Cody Gunther, to me, is a WrestleMania main event at some point. Not right now, because it's very clear they are going in different directions. Liv and Nia, well, I could see Nia winning that match because Rhea gets involved and all that stuff. But I'm interested in it. I didn't hate it. I love the way the belt looks. I love the way the title belt looks.
That's nice.
I was shocked. Like 90% of the people that I saw on Twitter hated everything about it, the way the title belt looked, the sentiment, the event, everything. And I completely understand hating the event for sure, but it'll be one of those things that I will wait and see how this one plays out, because this regime has at least earned a little bit of optimism for me in that regard. Now, if this was under Vince McMahon, I'd be like, well, this is stupid. This sucks. Yeah. But I guess we'll see.
I will say, I like the belt is just bigger than all the other belts. It like the way that I saw it, I was like, that's bigger sure than is. than the World Heavyweight Championship. I'm like, so like, I'm not saying that the bigger the belt is, the more important it is, but I'm like, you are really giving this belt specifically so much effort. It's extremely like ostentatious. And I think it's just, you're really prioritizing something that you shouldn't be prioritizing. And that's all I'm going to say. Cause yes, we got to wait until what happens.
Bad Robot says, some money for charity. You're good people. Thanks, Fightful. I like a round belt, so it's hilarious. So it looks hilarious. And I'm glad it's not a women's mid-card title to be crowned in Saudi. Yeah, if that was crowned in Saudi, that'd be a little, I'd be a little weird. So I have heard that it's been discussed, a women's mid-card title, but I haven't heard of one being produced or planned as of yet. When I think it was PWN had reported that there was one, I don't know, en route or discussed. That was confirmed to me. They've had conversations about it. But, I mean, as I look at things, I'm like, man, I kind of wish they would book the main titles and the contenders that get developed a little bit better, because I can't count how many times this year, not just in WWE, in AEW. In AEW, Britt Baker just lost a TBS title match. She's about to challenge for the world title after winning one match and disappearing. Willow lost her match at All Out, and now she's challenging Mariah May for something as well. And then you got Chris Statlander just turning babyface and challenging Mercedes. You saw that a lot in WWE this year as well, just people coming off of losses getting title matches. And I'm like, you got a lot of time to develop this talent. Like go ahead and do it and create contenders, and that'll go a long way. But that wasn't the only thing about the Triple H promo. Gunther came out. This man has become a refined troll, Minnie. Like, I really appreciate his trolling ability. Mm-hmm. He sees Bill Goldberg, and he says, Bill Goldberg, you know, I said some things to Brett about you being my hero, and I just wanted to address those. I was lying. A one-trick pony like you could never be my hero. And Goldberg's like, yeah, I hear you. And then he looks at Gage Goldberg, who is... I feel so old knowing this is the same kid from Survivor Series all those years ago. And he says, Gage, who plays at Colorado for Deion Sanders, by the way, he's like, I hope for your sake, your dad is a better pro wrestler than, or a better father than he is a pro wrestler. And I was like, Goldberg jumps the barricade and Gunther still isn't done, Minnie. He goes, I got 3 minutes for you. Get in here.
Just him, just like, he's so good at, like, him and Drew have definitely refined that good menace troll character. But as soon as Gunther walks out, he already has his menace smile on. So immediately I was already honed in. I was like, all right, I know this man is going to be a menace. I know Goldberg is in the crowd. Something is going to happen. And he did not disappoint. I will say I'm not the biggest Goldberg fan, but when I saw him actually laughing at it and actually taking the joke well, I kind of was like, you know what? I'm a little more of, dislike you a lot less, essentially. And I think it took him a while to like come into character.
I was like, there ain't no way they're letting Goldberg spear this guy 2 days before he's got a world title match, because who knows how that would go if that were the case. So security breaks them up. Sami Zayn comes out. Sami and Gunther brawl. Do you have any interest in a potential like WrestleMania match between Gunther and Goldberg if it happens? If they go that direction? Because Goldberg has said he wants one more match.
Unfortunately, yes, just because of the way that it was built. That's it. If this didn't happen, I would have been like, why are you doing this? You could give this to somebody else.
After seeing the way that Sting got his send off, I am big now on people getting their send off. Even if I don't like Goldberg as a performer, like, I feel like people who contribute to the industry should get an appropriate send off, whether it's win, lose, draw, whatever it is. And it's abundantly clear based on his interviews that Goldberg wants a different kind of send off than what he got. So I hope he gets it. I really do hope that he gets it. And I think that could be a lot of fun. But I mean, him and Braun Breaker, I think, is the move for WrestleMania. Like, I think that's the way. they just destroy stuff. Because I look at Gunther, I feel like Gunther's losing the title to John Cena at WrestleMania.
Me too.
That's how I feel. I'm with you.
Oh, wait, no. You said he's losing. No. No. I am not with you, actually. I'm not with you.
Really?
Because I actually believe John Cena when he says that his last year is just going to be about essentially, you know, like doing it the right way. I think when it comes to Gunther, I think he's not going to touch that. They will have a match, but he's going to put Gunther over. I think that 100% of the I think he can be anybody else, but Gunther, for me, I think he's untouchable to John Cena.
I think that John Cena is going to win the Royal Rumble because I think we end up getting Rock, Cody, Roman. And this is just theory. It's not anything I have insight on, but I think Cena wins the Rumble and he ends up challenging Gunther, and it's the classic 1980s All-American boy versus the European heel. And I think that John Cena wins his 17th because at this point they're like, screw Ric Flair. Like, well, who gives a damn about his record? Let Cena take the record. And I think eventually Gunther wins it back. But I think all that's happening.
I think they're going to focus on him being a grand slam instead of doing the 17th. I agree. Yeah, screw Ric Flair's record. But I think they're going to focus on the grand slam more so than they're going to focus on the 17th.
Crazy 101 says WWE have 18 titles with this new one. AEW and ROH have 15. Well, AEW and ROH have too many too. But I'll say this. These are basically trophies is what they are. These are like the Owen Hart tournament belts. Like they are there for decoration anyway. Mm-hmm. Rhea Ripley defeated Liv Morgan via DQ. So technically, if you would have bet on BetOnline AG on Rhea Ripley winning, you would have won a significant amount of money because she was a healthy underdog here, but the finish got messed up.
Yeah.
And Rhea Ripley ended up winning. The original finish, I'm told, was Raquel comes in, Liv ends up getting pinned by the way that it looked like she was supposed to. And it did not go that way. And I did not like this match. The performances, I thought, like Rhea playing to the camera and the Dominic stuff all went well. But I feel like a lot of stuff didn't go well here. Like you could tell the chain that Dominic had was very obvious. I was still surprised they did that spot where they hung him upside down and she basically beat him like a pinata. She said, happy birthday to me. Raquel came back and they were put in a position where the ref very clearly could not do anything but call a DQ. There's no way. A couple of things I did like. I liked Rhea's razor's edge. And I liked, I love Liv's crucifix bomb because it's a great counter out of the Riptide. And them saying that Dom learned to pick locks in prison was very funny. How'd you feel about this one?
I do agree. I saw him play with like the chain. I saw him checking on it inside the cage while the match was going, which means that the match probably like, I liked the match, but I don't think it was like the most engaging match where I'm focusing on every single moveset. I was focusing on what Dom was doing and I did see him like fiddle with the chain and stuff. I do think it's funny because Dom did say that the match between Eddie and Ray was supposed to, he was supposed to be hanging from a chain. So them them doing it with Dom again or doing it now as an adult, I think that's funny. The pinata spot was cool. I thought the ref cam was cool too. Raquel showing up was also cool, but just the spot was messy and it was probably not the best way to end that match yet.
Rhea really tossed Liv with that razor's edge. I love that. But Raquel being back, first off, I'm happy about that. For those that don't know, she's been dealing with a condition for quite some time, and they thought she was good and clear for Elimination Chamber, and it really affects a lot. Like, it affects her traveling. It affects her being able to train appropriately. Definitely affects her being able to wrestle. Then it flared up, like, immediately Elimination Chamber weekend. They had her do some stuff. They wrote her back off, but glad to see her back. But I thought this was not – done in a way that maximized her return. And I thought that the execution of it didn't end up working too well. But hey, listen, if you put money on Rhea Ripley at BetOnline.ag, I'm very happy for you guys. Fortunately, Dream Ninja sent a super chat and said, Rhea gets the small things. Speaking into the ref camera was great. Rhea versus Raquel is going to hump. They've always had good chemistry in the past. I'm just hopeful Raquel can stay there. That's the ref cam element and Rhea talking to that to it is one that we haven't really got much of before. Mm-hmm. I loved the Seth Rollins ref cam until it broke, mm-hmm. where they had him talking trash, but I thought that that worked out pretty well, but
yeah.
Not the best match.
You would know more than me. There was Liv did that cool. I think it was like an Oblivion bout. Like, I don't even know what to call it, but it was that, it was like, was it an, I don't know what she did, but it was off the rope. And I think it was like an Oblivion. Do you remember that?
Believe so. Yeah.
I feel like, cause I know her Oblivion is off the second rope, but I feel like if she does that as her actual finish, if she does it the way that she did it during this match, that's a really good finish. And I think she should probably try to add that.
Dream Ninja says that Rhea doing Io's hand spring flip was crazy. Liv also, to your point, she's evolving a lot in the ring. She's always been pretty good about that as well. And I'm glad that she's finally getting this run and this push because she was patient. She worked hard. She earned it. She absolutely earned it. Jordan Scott sent a humper chat. Says, hate putting this out there, but the Goldberg-Gunther interaction makes me think Sammy could win due to Goldberg interference. Don't say that.
Do not say says, that.
And it's Goldberg versus Gunther, Sammy versus Cody at Crown Jewel. Jordan's got a good point.
No, Jordan. No.
Oh, man.
Damn. Good point, but no.
Because, I mean, like, Cody and Gunther is such a marquee match, but...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Or, hear me out, guys. Sunberg wrestles. You get Gage Goldberg. It's the Colorado Buffaloes bye week that week. Maybe Sunberg comes in and beats Gunther. That's definitely going to happen. I bet that happens. Shelf President says Punk versus The Rock for WrestleMania program. Epic. That I highly doubt that's happening. Highly doubt that happens. We have some notes from the scrum that I want to address. Triple H spoke about the criticism of not featuring male black talent, specifically in a singles capacity. As I believe Snoop Dogg is the last black singles male wrestler to perform on a PLE. He said, quote, I don't see the difference in anybody. I don't see the color. I don't see the nationality. I don't see any of it. I just see talent. Don't see the difference between men and women. I see talent. We tell stories with those talent, how they can handle those stories, how they can represent those stories, how we can bring those stories forward. I don't keep track of any of that. I do what's relevant and what is best and what's being delivered the best. That's what goes. No difference in the men and the women, who main events, whatever the biggest stories are, that's where we go. That's what was basically told to me when I asked about this and was told, well, they're going to be more cognizant of it moving forward, but that was Triple H's immediate answer. And he also was talking about Goldberg coming back, and he says, never say never. Well, that's certainly the case with Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. They're teaming up. They're defeating the Bloodline. We'll go through the sort of layers of this match, Minnie. Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns were favored to win by BetOnline. AG are great partners. Jimmy Uso was favored to return. And I believe The Rock was also favored to pop up. Thank you to our great partners at BetOnline. But the entrance, we had two of them. We had the sort of the school band, as that got very popular about a month ago with Cody Rhodes. Mm-hmm. It seemed like there was a little bit of a snafu there in going from that to his music. And I think they caught somebody. I think they caught a woman from the Philharmonic pretending to play drums. I thought that was funny. But I like that they're adding, like, even if it's a little performative, like, I love that they're doing this and making it feel as special and big as possible. If you're going to put five matches on a show, let's add as much to them as we can. What did you think of these special entrances?
Yeah, I thought Cody's entrance was really good. Before I go on five matches on a PLE, good. Never going to complain about that. But I thought Cody's entrance was good. I did see like the people just stand, like the four that were supposed to be singing, just kind of standing there. And they were like, like it was like, okay, you're getting paid to stand there. That's cool. And I thought OTC's entrance was a lot better. I thought
they did too.
Yeah, they favored OTC with that entrance because he had a whole orchestra. And it's like the juxtaposition from Cody Rhodes to OTC, you kind of can tell who really runs the show. And I hate to say that because, you know, like, I love Cody Rhodes, but today, like, the OTC ran the show.
I was so happy to see Roman Reigns back in the ring. My God, I really loved the era of SmackDown early on when he had the title and he was defending the title on SmackDown because it made those shows feel so huge. Mm-hmm. One thing that I think Roman Reigns, and especially in this match, has done is he's brought back like the Attitude Era style of main events. And people are like, well, what do you mean by that? If you go back and look at The Rock, Triple H, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Mankind, there's a lot of kicking, punching. Then they would set up a big spot. Then you'd go into the signature moves here and there. That's what they largely relied on, as opposed to rest hold, that type of thing, or just a back and forth sort of spot related thing. They had a particular formula, and I think it works so well for Roman Reigns and especially the Bloodline, because we are familiar. Like, they're going through a barricade, they're going through a table. We know Cody does the disaster kick. We know he does the crossroads. We know there's a Superman punch and a spear. And considering the number and the spike, and considering the number of ingredients in this match, there was plenty of time to get there. And I thought that they did that well. Very, very interesting how strong they kept Jacob Fatu. Mm-hmm. Two, how much they kept Jacob Fatu away from Roman Reigns. It is abundantly clear that they know that Jacob Fatu is the guy. And they're playing that up on TV. Cody is doing the crazy shit.
Yeah.
Cody, yeah. The guy who is doing Roman the favor, is doing the crazy shit for Roman. I thought this was a very well-constructed main event to play off what they were doing. Let's talk about the match itself and how you felt about it before we get into the crazy stuff that happened at the very end and after the match.
Yeah, I thought the match was good. I did see a lot of like Jacob and Cody were more prominent shown throughout the match. The crowd started chanting, you can't wrestle the solo. And my chat was like, they should be chanting, you can't math, which I think would have been a way better chant than you can't wrestle, because Solo could wrestle. Okay, he just sort of lost his aura when he became Tribal Chief, but I think that's the point. He's also doing it on purpose. He's playing into the character that he understands that he can never be Roman Reigns. But I thought the match in itself was pretty good. I agree with you about the whole like the setup of a main event from the Attitude Era. I think that is perfect for the Bloodline. And it kind of like gauges away from what we know is going to happen. Just like what you said, barricade, table spot, Jacob just saying solo. Like, we all know that that's going to happen.
Yep. And I thought the spots were appropriate. Like Cody jumping that far. Sometimes I'm like, can he make it? He did. It worked out great. Jacob Fatu being protected heavily and no selling some stuff. He no sold the barricade spot. Mm-hmm. That was really, really smart of them to do. Then it happens. Listen, I got so many people that I kept receipts on when Rikishi was out there saying silly shit, saying, pray for Jimmy, keep him in your thoughts. And I had to hit up people, and I don't like to dig into people's personal stuff like that.
Yeah.
But somebody was like, man, I just FaceTimed with him. He's fine. He's okay. And I had so many people saying, oh, you're going to believe Sean or his dad? Like, no, I get it. But don't be a dick about it, guys. So I had to pull out some of those receipts. Jimmy's fine. He's fine. He's throwing super kicks. Roman gets the win. And then, after all that, the bloodline is jumping Cody. And I loved Jimmy. He's ride or die for Roman. Through everything, he's ride or die for Roman. And this is the redemption story of Roman Reigns, Minnie, because right now, the only people that have any real reason to help him are his family. Like, Cody had to be talked into it. He had to meet Cody at the 50-yard line at Georgia Tech to make this happen. He said, no, you can be here. And then Jimmy said, all right, let's go help him. They run them all off. And then it happens. As FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business, reported, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is back. He legitimately rolled up in his big-ass black Ford truck in plain sight of people earlier. I was shocked. But, like, when WWE doesn't make it a secret, Minnie, when he's popping up. Like, you'll have little things like him posting, oh, I'm going to be at this football game about 80 minutes away. Or you'll have The Rock, like, talking to Pat McAfee, and he's like, heard the big guy's going to be there. Like, they hint at it. And it's because they want the surprise, but they also want everybody to tune in and watch. When the music hit, how were you feeling?
Electrifying, and pun intended. I also agree. Yeah, Dwayne was on the Pat McAfee show in Colorado, and then SmackDown was in Colorado, and then he shows up out of nowhere. So yeah, I do see what they're doing, especially when it was reported that he was in Atlanta, Georgia already. So yeah, it was highly speculated. Definitely felt the aura. Like, it went from feeling Cody Rhodes being the champ, I was like, all right, cool. Then Roman Reigns just like absolutely destroying Cody Rhodes' aura, and then The Rock coming out. And I don't know what this means. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know. I was about to ask you, like, what you thought the 1, 2, 3, whatever, and then he cut meant. Mm-hmm. He didn't do a lot, but him being there is exciting. Like, the story is exciting. He didn't do a damn thing. But Eric Elrod says, outside of Hell in a Cell and The Rock showing up for 10 seconds, this is a very Monday Night Raw pay-per-view. I don't disagree with that. But to me, it's very smart, especially when you've only got 5 matches. If you sandwich a show with 2 things that are incredibly memorable, that's what I think the majority of people are going to remember. David sends a humper chat. He says, this is my first chat after 4.5 years watching. Thank you. He says, today was a great show. I think War Games is going to be Cody, Reigns, Usos, Sammy versus Rock in the Bloodline. Also, about Crown Jewel, I see it as in soccer when, and I'm going to have Luis send me the rest of that. But let's talk about this. And we are going to get to the Cody, Kevin Owens things, guys. But Mr. Nostalgia says, Rock is simply setting up a Survivor Series War Games match between Bloodline, Cody, Roman, the Usos, and question mark. Lonnie Barker mentioned, is Zilla or Hikuleo on your radar? No, Hikuleo is not signed. And if they signed him, I don't think that they would feel like at a place to put him in there right then. The reason he didn't work, he's not working with GCW is a pay dispute. That's completely why that happened. So let's talk about what it seems like they might be setting up, Minnie, at least what everybody's suggesting. War Games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that where you think they're going with this?
Yeah. Old bloodline with new bloodline, essentially. Yeah.
But do you think The Rock will actually be in that match?
No, I don't think. I think he's going to oversee it. I think he's overseeing it. He's probably going to interfere somehow, but I don't think he's going to be a part of the match.
So we have Tama, Tonga, Jacob, and Solo. Mm-hmm. Then we've got Roman, the Usos. I would actually like to see them call on Sammy to help him again instead of Cody, because I think they're going a different direction with Cody. I would love for Jey Uso to be like, listen, let's get back together, and then to make sense of it. I wouldn't be surprised if they go 4 versus 4, and that's just a hunch. How are you feeling about that?
I also want them to bring Sammy. If they do have a different direction with Cody, then that's fine. If it's not Sammy and it's Cody, that's okay with me too. But yeah, if you're going to do like a bloodline versus bloodline, you should bring all the original members versus the new members. And 4v4, I'm okay with it. I actually did think that Hikaleo would be a part of it. I knew Zilla wasn't going to be a part of it, but I actually thought Jimmy was Talatonga. I'm assuming that's going to be Hikaleo's name. I don't know.
I feel like, I mean, if Hikaleo comes and shows up there, which again, there was word he was getting added to NXT. I haven't confirmed that, but they say, oh, okay, well, there's your five, and The Rock joins Roman and the Usos and all that, and then turns on them. Yeah. I think that could be good. Mm-hmm. I think that could be okay. But I'm interested to see how they go in that direction. I want to know what our chat thinks of it. Get in your super chat. Just let us know in the live chat. The rest of David's chat was, I see it as the crown jewel thing. I see it as in soccer when the champions of two different tournaments play each other in a one-off and call it a super cup, which doesn't matter more than the actual championships, but it's known to played to know which team is better between the two. I like it as a wrestling gimmick. I'm with you, David. I like it as a wrestling gimmick as well. I'm cautiously optimistic because in wrestling you script it, that in the past we have seen that and they overbook it in order to protect everybody. I am of the belief that sometimes when a really great wrestler and a really great wrestler face each other, one of those really great wrestlers can just beat the other one and it doesn't hurt anybody because they're really good. It doesn't make anybody lesser than. Mm-hmm. So after the show, we actually got word from our audience. Kevin Owens jumped Cody Rhodes. I don't know if I'm able to show the footage, but it has been filmed and broadcast on social media. And it's Cody getting jumped outside his bus, which Rafael Garcia says they love jumping him outside his bus. I kind of dig that they did this off screen a little bit and they'll apply it to something. It increases the spontaneity of it. The Rock also did an IG live. It would have been kind of cool if he caught that happening as well. But the turn of Kevin Owens on Cody Rhodes, how are you feeling about it?
I feel good. I kind of wanted to see it though.
I
would have wanted that on TV. Now obviously we all knew that the turn was coming and we also know that Randy Orton is going to turn. And I'm not saying like we know as in definitive, but it's like, we are pretty sure that's going to happen. And I'm just hoping that they film Randy Orton's turn on Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, me too. Like, I mean, it got a lot of buzz, at least in our chat. Like, everybody was talking about it. We got this fella, people asking us if we covered it. I mean, I'm excited for it. Like, I like a heel Kevin Owens. I also like a babyface Kevin Owens because he seems like the only guy that actually watches the show. He pays attention to everything that is going on, which I appreciate. But that's one that we are definitely going to monitor. If you guys didn't check out our scoops thread over on FightfulSelect.com, we had a whole bunch of stuff there. I will be doing the Q&A. I'll probably drop that show on Monday, but you can get your questions in tomorrow. It's just $5 a month or $54 a year. The least expensive exclusive wrestling news service that you can find. As we wrap up, Alan says, I gave Bad Blood a B+ overall. Great show with good storytelling. Happy for all the returns. Hope Punk and McIntyre are okay. As best I know, they are. I know Drew did have to get stapled up, but it ended up being all right. How would you rate the show?
I rated it a 10 out of 10.
Interesting. I would rate it an A, a B, an AB, or an O. Get it? They're blood types. Damn. Mini Portable, please tell these wonderful people where they can find you, where they can follow you. I mean, you do all kinds of great stuff. You're full of personality. You are as Luis is, I'm trying to put your thing up there for super chats, but tell the people where they can keep following you and supporting you.
At Mini Portable everywhere. TikTok is at mini.portable because I got banned because I could be a menace sometimes, but I stopped being a menace.
What'd you do? Yeah.
I was on Instagram Live. Somebody mentioned something about like feet pics, and I was like, feet pics? And I raised my foot with a sock on. And my live got restricted, and then they banned me.
Listen, we found out live on the air that Denise has a WikiFeet page. And she was mad because she had three ugly reviews on there. She didn't care about like the 50 great reviews. She was focused on the negative the whole time.
Oh no.
But like I looked at it and I was like, listen, I know some of these are pictures she hasn't put out into the world. So these weirdos go to like really extreme lengths. So I can't say that I disagree with you there. But Mini Portable, it was awesome to have you here. Guys, I am right back here for a solo show, Wrestle Dream. The reason I don't have people on that show is because I don't want to do a 3.5 hour show because they do 19 matches on AEW pay-per-views. But FightfulSelect.com. Until next time, guys, we are out.
Bye.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.